worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Hallelujah, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Hallelujah, God of my salvation, be exalted. Who will magnify the Lord?
I will magnify the Lord.
For he is worthy to be praised.
He is worthy to be praised.
I will magnify the Lord. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
I know the Lord liveth.
Oh, blessed be the rock,
and may
the God of my salvation be exalted. Who will magnify the Lord?
I will magnify the Lord.
Magnify the Lord.
Oh, let's magnify the Lord.
He is worthy to be.
My God is worthy to.
Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Blessed be the rock,
and
may the God of my salvation be exalted.
I know the Lord liveth.
Oh, blessed be the rock.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
I know the Lord liveth.
Blessed be the rock,
and may the God of my salvation be exalted.
Amen.
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 Go ahead, Brother Mark.
Amen. Something's been on my heart for a while and wanted to testify. It is back when my early teens had a big life lesson. It's on. Okay, let me hold it. All right. And my grandpa took me fishing. He rented this little tiny boat, about a real little tiny metal boat, and he had a motor for it that was about four times too big for that boat. And he took us out on there. We were fishing. We didn't catch anything, so we decided to move somewhere else. So we reeled in our lines, and he started that motor up, and I was looking around like, something's wrong. And I turned back to Grandpa. I was like, Grandpa, we're not moving. He looks around. Face turned red, he turned the motor off and said, pull the anchor up. I pulled the anchor up. That anchor wasn't very big, but it was enough to hold us right where we were. As soon as that anchor came up, we went flying all over the place again. But it shows the importance of an anchor. I learned that right there and then. I was about right over there back in 92 that I set my anchor right here. And I haven't left it, and it hasn't moved me anywhere. The anchor holds. And that's the importance of an anchor. Right. It has kept me right here. Look at each one of you throughout this entire week. Of all the things that happened to you all week, good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. Now look around you. Your anchor held you right back here where you should be. It held you right here. And that's what anchors hold. They don't have to be real big. And the important thing about an anchor is Satan can't lift your anchor. You have to choose to lift your anchor. If you choose to lift your anchor, you'll be flying right out of here and all over the place like we did in that little boat. But as long as you leave that anchor will hold you. It doesn't have to be real bad. It will keep you right there. And that's it's so important. The anchor is so important to let it set there and just let it be. And I'm so glad that I set my anchor right there. When Brother Childers said that, he said, drive your stake right here. I set my anchor right there, and it has moved me. And no matter what Satan says, so-and-so did this, so-and-so, I'm not here for anybody in here except for the Word. If you stay here, great. If you have to leave, so be it. But I'm here for the Word. My anchor is hold. I'm not lifting my anchor because I choose not to. I choose to stay right here, and I'm trusting my anchor.
Amen.
Go ahead, sis.
Good morning, body. I'm just so grateful and thankful to be here. And like Brother Mike said, you know, you must have that anchor. I have that free moral agency. I made the decision to be here, to hear the Word. And I am so grateful for that. But I just want to reflect back on the many years that I have been here. Sister Moore, I tell you, I appreciate you. You know, there you are. Okay. I appreciate you. You know, we played a song in moments like these. You was teaching me that on the violin. And I tell you, it just fills my heart, you know? And then the other song, you know, bless it. He lives in me. He walks with me. I need him every day. I need him every hour, every second. And I am just very appreciative. And I do not want to sit on God. You know, while I was sitting there, my heart was just filled, you know. And I just want to let him know how much I love him, how much I need him. And he has been there for me. And I appreciate each and every one of you all.
Amen. I tell you what, a testimony turns me on.
Yes.
I enjoy it. I love hearing from the body. I came full today. You know, I came loaded. I am loaded. You know, I was thinking, you know, it's cold outside. It's the first time we've had real cold weather this year. And you know, you think about the natural, the body's way of keeping you warm is shivering. You know, just look at that in the spiritual. You come in here and sit and be quiet. You're cold, nothing in you, but you move, something within you. I woke up and you're going to have to bear with me for a second. I woke up with that song, "Oh Lord, you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do." I tell you, you know, Brother Jeremiah preached on things to be thankful for.
Oh, yeah.
And if you haven't dwelled on that, he made it. It's like, I just have a small message. And then blows us out of the water with it. Let me, you know, what the world will give you. World will give you fame and fortune. But that gold is the stuff that paves our streets when we get to heaven. What are we placing our emphasis on? The world will give you a neurotic complex. Will give you confusion, depression, anxiety. This word gives you rest. This word, when your family dies, you know where they're going. You know, this word, when your loved ones leave, you know it's going to be okay. You know that there's a script that can be filled called a rapture that makes all things that were wrong right. If that doesn't turn you on right there, I don't know what will. If that doesn't get you excited that God spoke to you, if nothing else, that you have a personal revelation, that he was like, hey, let me tell you a secret. Nobody else knows. Nobody else knows. It's going to be okay. You're one of them. You were eternal before the foundation that I saw you and what you would do with it. But, oh, Brother Mike, you can't take away that choice. I love that because you know what? It makes you accountable, what you do with the word. Because you know what? God gave me breath and gave me life, but who woke up? Who got the kids ready? Who made sure I was here on time? And I'm not talking 10 a.m. on time. I'm talking 9:30. Get in the atmosphere. Because you come late, the worries of the world, you're like, oh, Lord, I'm late for church. You come in the atmosphere. I now have a job that I have to keep the atmosphere. So I want to make sure I take it seriously. We all should have that responsibility that we come in here. We don't come in here just latent and just take it for granted. God has given you something. If nothing else, he woke you up. I don't care what you do with that. He kept you from when you went to sleep, whether it was four, 8 hours of beauty rest, whether it was 3 hours of turmoil sleep. Guess what? You woke up. What are you going to do with that? I don't want to, I'm telling you, I read these things, and the things I would not do, I find myself doing. But now I'm like, we're going to have to plan family pictures around church. I tell you, I work X, Y, and Z. Wednesday, I'm free all the way up till 6. Sunday, I'm good Friday. Saturday, I didn't want to talk about it. But that's the thing, though. There's the change. There has to be a change. You can't go and do the same thing and expect different results. That is literally the definition of crazy. Doing the same thing over and over again, you find yourself working in a circle. That's no different than what the world does. But you know what God does is God, I love that analogy. I almost could jump when you put that anchor down and you stand on what he reveals to you.
Yeah.
He is obligated by his word to make sure that you are successful.
Yes.
If you stand, that's the only thing that he is obligated to do is if you stand on that word. Yeah. You may fall a little bit to the left, but guess what about an anchor? You may drift to the left, but you'll come right back. You may drift to the right. You know, there's a certain sway with the ocean. There's a certain wiggle room that we have in this condensation.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? You always come back to that center.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because of the word. It's not because of the flesh. It's not because of something you manufactured. It's because you listened to it and you believed it and you applied it. So I am thankful, if nothing else, that I had an ear to hear. I have eyes to see, and I can believe. Because there's some people that it's just not in them. So I love this message, and I want to say I'm one of them. So when they say, will there be ones that have faith when I return? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, you hear it. I'm not going to just be a Sunday. I told my kids that. I don't want to just be a Sunday and Wednesday thing. I want to talk to God on Tuesday. I want to talk to God on Thursday. You know, it's funny, I was even thinking, I reached out to Brother Moore and Brother Jim because you know what? Fellowship. You have not because you has not. In this day and age, all Satan's trying to do is isolate you. He wants to make you think that you don't got it. He wants to make sure that the post is without of arm's reach. I tell you what, just take a step forward, grab it.
Yeah, claim it.
Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
He says in the days like that, you should gather yourself that much closer.
Yeah.
The Bible says it. I'm just saying, but I am thankful for revelation. I'm thankful that I made it one more day.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I was able to get up.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for the freedom that we had the front part of the service to say something.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, I was out there pacing and just singing that song. Oh, my Lord, you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do.
Amen.
And you know what's nice about that song is you can fill other parts into it. You gave me a revelation.
Yeah.
And you've surely been good to me. You saved my loved ones, and you've surely been good to me. You could go on and on and on. That's a song that just, and that was, another thing, another song is, this is my desire.
I love it.
This is my desire.
Yes.
I want to be just like him, and I tell you what, I won't be content until I awaken his likeness.
Right.
So, that's my testimony.
Amen.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Verse 1. The splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice.
Navigating how to make our home environment safer for him.
Amen.
And on that note, I have a great testimony that it's been long awaiting for me, and it's of a personal journey that I wanted to share with you. For many, many years, and I know a lot of you don't know me and my family's story, but for many years, I have always wanted a house to be settled in. And me and Alex got that house. We closed on a house the other day. And I thank the Lord and Brother Jay. I thank you for helping us. You just don't know the true meaning of what this meant for us. And it's not the house itself, because it's a material item. And, I mean, that can go away anytime. I have a heavenly home that's so much more important than what's here on this earth. But we have struggled for so many years, for so long for our family. We've moved, I think this will be our 17th, 18th time.
Wow.
And we have been homeless before. We've been in and out of homes. We've been to a point where we've had a house, but they come and... thank you. Where we were afraid that we weren't... It just wasn't stable. And I feel like all this time where I wanted so much, and I was out of line because I jumped in front of my husband because I kept pushing for something, but it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right place. And so it got to a point where I left it alone. And when I left it alone, that's when my husband said, this is the right time. And he pushed forward, and then everything just happened so quickly. And it was the right time. And it was what the Lord wanted at the right time. So I feel like at this point, I feel like all those years where I was not really planted where I should have been, but all those times God kept me watered. He kept me alive and where I was supposed to be at that time. But now I don't have to feel like so much that, as my mom would call us, traveling gypsies, because we were traveling everywhere. We just weren't stable. And I feel like this is my home now. I'm not going anywhere. Y'all can't get rid of me now. I'm here.
Amen.
We have a house in Fairborn. We're here now, and I'm so blessed, and I'm so thankful for what the Lord has provided for us. And I'll invite y'all all over when we get settled. But I'm just thankful for what God has provided, and I believe he's working a work that I'm praying for. If he can provide a house, he can. My husband's going to be here. I mean, he's going to be here, and he knows it. He knows it. He knows it, because I said, you put me a little further, because I prayed to be close. You put me a little further. If it's snowing, you're going to bring me here. And he just laughed like, yeah, I know. So you'll look to see him sitting here. So, and I believe for it. So I thank the Lord for
Amen.
It. I thank for it. On that note, I'm ending. I have an MRI today scheduled, my third one, yes, on Sunday. So, and I'm believing for my healing. I already do. So I thank the Lord for it. So,
amen, amen.
Who
I'm giving this to.
Go ahead, Sister Moore.
Who's that, me? My heart was distressed, neath the hole was dredged frown, and lo, in the pit where my sin dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep. My request, and he tenderly bought me out to golden. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm never going to get up there. Put me down where I can praise him. My heart, is that lower?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. Hey, come on, Isaiah. Come on, help me. Help. Let's go to the chorus. Cause he bought me out.
He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul.
Was distressed, need to hold, was dread frown, and lo, in the pit where my sin dragged me down. But I cried to the Lord from the deep, my reclaim, and he tenderly bought me out. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Exactly what he did. You know, when I get up, I don't have anything scripted
Amen.
To say.
Come on.
But I want you, I want the devil to know where I stand.
Amen.
The Lord let me know through the preaching of the word.
Yes, he did.
It didn't matter what kind of week I had.
Right.
It doesn't matter if I did good or bad. He let me know that it was all taken care of. Therefore, I would never want to come to church as long as he gives me life and breath and sit here and not show my appreciation to him. Let me tell you something else. God has blessed me beyond. I could never serve him or give him and repay him for what he has done. That man sitting there, God ordained him to be with me. That man has been patient. That man has given me everything that I needed.
Amen.
I can't praise him enough, Sister Michelle. I don't know what to do. I might just cut loose and walk because it is a late hour. I don't want to take up a lot of time. And I know you see you stand there. But I'm, what am I going to do when I know what I know?
Amen.
And what I see? And he made me worthy. Drop, just drop the mic.
Let me jump in here real quick and say a little something. My flesh don't want to, but boy, something's stirring in my heart.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is so real to me. I dropped an anchor a long time ago, and my anchor has held.
Oh my.
I might drift a little bit this way, that way. And I've learned to take up the chain a little bit so I don't drift so far, you know. But you got to leave a little slack there. You know, and that's a permissive will. That's you know, we deal with that every day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we pray. That's why we believe. That's why we press. You know, and I was thinking about some. I wrote some things down. And, you know, and it seemed like I, you know, when I get alone, that's when I have my fellowship with him. You know, that's something I cannot explain. It don't make sense to me. You know, I go down the road, my mind's a million miles away from God. And I said, well, let me just think on him. And pour along that
think on it.
It's just flooded.
Oh.
My heart is flooded. The things coming out of my heart, I didn't know was in there.
Yeah.
You know, and he's tying things together, and it's beautiful.
Yes, it
is. It's a fellowship. You know, but it takes a press. Yeah. You know, and you press into that. You know, Brother Bram said it one time. He said, you know, you pray, you know, you get healings, and you press a little harder, and you even break into visions. You know, he explained it like that. The more you press, the more you got. And I was sitting there thinking about Luther. Part. I was sitting there thinking about Luther. You know, Luther didn't have much to go on. You know, he just had that portion of the word, and he was obligated to that. But, you know, him who's given a living, little, much, is, you know, little is required. But who's given much? Much, I'm talking about us, given everything, then much is required. And I don't have a right to play around with unbelief. I know too much.
That's right.
I don't have a right to walk around like the devil's on my back.
Come on.
He's not on my back.
Amen.
He's nowhere around me. Light has no fellowship with darkness. I don't fellowship with the devil, ever. And I'm so thankful to know that.
Yes.
And most so thankful that I feel obligated to that.
Amen.
You know, I just don't have a right to play around with the devil like that. Let me find this real quick. You know, I thought of a scripture the other day, and I'll just read it. It's in 1 John. It said, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things.
Oh, my. Yes.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God.
Yes.
And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him.
Yeah.
Because we keep his commandments.
That's right.
And do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Yeah.
We know what to do now.
Oh, yeah.
We have such a great understanding.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm so thankful that God has revealed it to us.
Amen.
You know, and I was thinking about, you know, he's got his part according to his perfect will, according to his purpose. And I was thinking God's part. God's part was, you hath he predestined. Foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, glorified. Thou hast known my thoughts afar off. He knows. That's his part. He can see. My members, as yet there were none of them, he knew. Forever written in heaven. As many as thee called, according to his purpose. That's on him. His purpose. No man cometh unto me except my Father draws. That's him. He does the draw. No man cometh unto me. Salvation is of the Lord.
Yep.
I can't save myself.
Yes.
Because you are sons.
Well.
By his foreknowledge.
Amen.
He knew I was a son.
Yeah.
He knew I would turn quickly. He knew I wouldn't deny one word. For whom he did foreknow, them he did foreknow. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Right. Whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? That's him.
Yeah.
The eternal purpose of God.
Eternal purpose.
That's him. Mm. My part.
I love it.
And I thought, what is my part? Fight a good fight.
Yeah.
Keep the faith.
Yeah.
Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints.
Yes.
Examine yourself.
Amen.
Whether you be in the faith. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
Press the mark.
Yes.
of the high calling of God in Christ. Yes. Die daily. Gather yourself that much more together as you see your day approaching. Amen. This is all on us. Singing, make a melody in your heart unto the Lord. Pray that effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man. Amen. Pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Walk by faith, not by sight. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word.
Yeah.
Get where that word's being preached.
Amen.
How shall we hear except it be preached? Study to show yourself approved. Seek, knock, thirst. Believe and don't doubt in your heart.
Amen.
Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth.
Yeah. Okay.
Make your confession and then live by it.
Yeah.
You know, we used to say all the time, careful what you say. The devil's going to make you prove it. And I will prove it. Yeah. The bride will prove it.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Overcome by your testimony.
Okay.
Endure to the end.
Yeah. Amen.
The bride has made herself ready. Yeah. And I was thinking, there's so much on us. We see so much. These scriptures are real to us.
Yeah.
You know, I know my part. It's not sitting back, well, I'm going to wait on God. God's waiting on you. Get with it, bride, you know. That's what I'm talking to myself. Yeah. And I thank the Lord, you know, because I could just easily just not said one word today.
Right.
You know, and I'm sitting there, I'm an elder. I've been up the road. I've been where a lot of the rest of the congregation is going through or going to go through or maybe never go through, but it'd be a blessing. It'd be edifying. You know, if he says, I'm edifying, then I'm edifying.
Amen.
You know, and it's not me. It's the word of God, the understanding he's given me that I can share with you and I can encourage you with.
Amen.
So I'm so thankful for an understanding. Amen. Understanding is everything. He said this morning, I don't come here for people.
Right.
I don't come here for friendship, fellowship. I love all that, and all that's well and good.
Yeah.
But I'm here for the word.
Amen.
This is my life. You know, not my clout, not my, you know, none of that stuff. I'm here for the word. I'm here to obey the word, to walk by faith, to receive what he has to say, and to express it. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have something to say, Brother Colton? Okay, go ahead. Then you'll be the last one.
I just want to thank God today for being in this body, to being a part of his word. You know, because we are the word, you know, and to be able to look back and say that I'm a part of that body and to look forward and say I'm a part of this body is just amazing. And I just want to stand here, too, and say I identify with this word. I'm standing. I'm going to be here. I'm a doer to the end. I'm just giving my testimony today that anchor does hold. You know, my ship has been rocked, but that anchor. But you know something about that anchor? It pulls you back. It does. It centers you. And we also have, I'm so glad for this word to give us a balance. You know, I listen to other ministries and different things, and everybody is so far off in this world on just everything. They're so to the right or to the left, but we have such a balance. This ministry brings us a balance on marriage. It brings us a balance on working. It brings us a balance on, hey, you can hold on to it as long as you want to. But as for me and my house, I'm letting everything go right now. As they say, we're dropping the mic, I'm dropping the mic. Sister, I'm here today to stand with you on that miracle that's about to happen. Because you know what he said? He said, it's your birthright. Are we holding on to our birthright? Do we know what comes with being a child of God? And everything was in the sea. You know what? That tree was in that seed.
Oh, my, yeah.
So it's like, what is it?
Right.
Why are we standing with our heads held down?
Come on.
Christ is with us now. Now, he's not only with us, he's in us.
Amen.
That word is talking, moving. He said, it's my words coming out of you, that deity.
Amen.
And I just thank God for everything. I thank for him for my husband. I thank him for my children. I thank him for the journey. Would I change anything for the journey? No, because it made me who I am. So I just want to thank God. I want to praise him. I want to thank God that I'm here standing one more day. We're not promised tomorrow, no matter how old you are. I've seen 4-year-olds die. I've seen 16-year-olds die. I've seen 30-year-olds die. That has nothing to do with it. When your time is up, God doesn't care how you leave here. So while I'm here and I have a voice, I'm going to praise him. I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. All that you have done. Whether I looked at it bad, ugly, or indifference, it's still him. He has done it. He has gotten the victory. And I'm so thankful. The glory is all his. When I come through this door, I'm singing praises. Lord, thank you so much for the house. He's given us a house. And everything of a part of this house is just a cherry on the cake. I look at you guys and I was like, I'm glad to go through the journey with you guys. I'm glad to be a part of you guys. I love you. Yes. I'm standing here and I'm just so thankful.
I just want to get up here today and read this. It says devotions. So my dad gave this to me when I got baptized. So I wanted to read this. I thought it was really cool. Jesus was not just a good person. He was more than good. He was a personification of perfection. This is so breathtaking because I just can't believe it. He's so perfect. It's so overwhelming that we might hesitate to approach the Lord. But if he is your Savior, there is no barrier that can separate you from him. Because of this, life becomes filled with fullness. Ephesians 3:17-18 reads, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together in all the Lord's and all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long, high and deep is the love of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing, We Are Standing on Holy Ground.
Yes,
we are. We'll get him up.
On holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Oh, so let us pray.
presence.
In his presence there is joy beyond all measure.
And at his feet.
And at his feet, peace of mind can still be found. Oh, and if you have a need, I know he has the answer. Just reach out and claim it, for we are standing on holy ground.
Come on, Pastor.
Yes, for we are standing on holy ground. And I know that there
standing in his presence on holy ground. When I walked into the presence, as I walked through the door, I sensed his presence. He's here today. And I knew it was the place where love abides. For this is the temple, Jehovah God. He abides here. Yes, and we are standing in his presence on holy ground. In his presence is joy. Oh, in his presence there is joy beyond all. You can't measure it. And at his feet, peace of mind. You can have peace of mind today. And a need I know he had the answer. All you gotta do is reach out, it's here. Reach out and claim it, for we are standing on holy ground. Oh, we are standing on holy ground. And I know that there says, oh, we are standing in his presence on holy ground. Heavenly Father, we're standing here this morning. Oh, we know it's not the building that's holy. It's not the people that's holy, but it's you that makes us holy. When you moved into this temple, Father, it became holy just by your very presence. Not only the temple here at 1744, but in my temple, in our temple, that's where you really wanted to move. And now that you've done this, Lord, you've done the thing that you had in your mind from before the foundation of the world. And Lord, as we come in thanksgiving this morning to thank you for what you've done, for what you are doing, and what you're planning on doing, Father, we're thankful to be a part of it. Father, as we open up the word this morning, we ask you to open our hearts and let the people just receive you. Not just a word, but let them receive you, the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we never made that decision, let us make it today. We never made that claim, never claimed it for ourselves. Lord, that's what we need to do today. That's the most important thing there is. Lord, I ask you to touch the people that are here today. Touch our bodies. Touch those that are sick. Sister Keene and her Kentucky with her sister, and the Earlys in Florida, different ones around the world. Brother George always asks for prayer in Africa, the Philippines, and Lord, the upcoming trip to India. We ask you to just send, because all of these are places where your word is landing. And Father, we ask you to just have your way in each one of those areas of the world. But for a few minutes this morning, Lord, please come by here. Oh, speak to our hearts. Comfort us. Give us peace of mind. Give us focus. Help us to, Lord, find out what it is that we need. And, Lord, just give it to us. And, Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise and the glory for all that you do for us. We'll never stop praising you throughout eternity. I was praising you from before the foundation of the world in your mind. And I'm praising you now and in manifestation here. And Lord, when we move over to the other side, I'll still be praising you. But for a few moments this morning, Lord, just come and speak to our hearts. Thank you for all you've done and all you do for us. Thank you for this word. We ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you want to turn with me before you sit down to Hebrews chapter 1, just a few verses here. I can read this and then we'll have let you have your seats. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord again. It's a privilege. It really is. God didn't have to do this, but he chose to do this. So starting with verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He hath appointed. By whom also he made the worlds, whom being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, that he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated.
Like the title of this message this morning, The Threefold Purpose of God. And I got this because Jeremiah kept saying it Wednesday. And I said, I'm going to go back over there and look at that. I'd like to take a moment to thank our sound crew. We had an emergency switch over vendors between Wednesday and today. And they did a great, great thing to keep our it's not live stream anymore. What? Vimeo. To keep our Vimeo going, they came in and they did all the switching over and moving things. Hey, Barb. They came over and they switched everything and did it between Thursday and Sunday so we wouldn't skip a beat in our services online. And I really, really, really appreciate that. I was ready to call Vereen back home and they said, nah, they were on it. And I just sat back and watched them do their thing and appreciated their knowledge. Because it kept us alive and well on the internet, and we're making some changes anyway, but that was a big one that we had to have happen, and it came sooner than we expected, so we didn't really give people notice of the change, but on the web page, if they're looking at us today, they got it. It's just one more step when you pull up the web page, click on it, and then that takes you to this site where you just pick videos, and that gets you into the live stream or the archive services. So we're still making some changes, but that one was a major, major, major move, and I appreciate Jeremiah and Elise, and Kevin was there, and Jay was from a distance breathing heavy. Because it was a big thing. It was a big thing. So I really appreciate it. Let's give them a hand. Because they do. They do a lot of work. And don't think Praveen's retired. He's working on our webpage over in India. And once that's ready, the webpage is going to have a new look. And there's still things we're doing to get the services to the server. And there's a lot going on behind the scenes that you all don't have to know about, but I appreciate you do know a little bit about it so that you can appreciate them when they walk by you. Shake their hand. Tell them thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord, because, you know, they give their time and their knowledge, and they were going in screens that I had never seen and hope to never see again. But I appreciated the work. I really do. And so it's good. So let's get to the message this morning, because we've got services this evening. And I try anymore. I like to get you out of here by noon, but it doesn't seem to happen too much. I hear you laughing, Mike. But when you get on a subject as big as this subject is, it's hard to give you a little snack. You know, it's like, well, it's like eating at Thanksgiving, if y'all did. Now, how many of y'all overate? See? See what I mean? When you got all that food in front of you, how could you help but to overeat? And when you got so much word laying here, it's hard to you just have to break it off and give you enough to get you back to the next service. But this is a subject I thought about this morning. I was getting ready for service, and I thought, we've been on this thing for 2 months, and it's changed our thinking. I listened to your testimonies, And even in your testimonies, you're more sure. I love the way Crystal said it. I chose this. And that's the real balance of it. People want to say that it's all God, and He's making all this happen. Well, He makes it possible, but you make it happen, and it's your choice to do that. And I think that is one point. There's a bunch of points, but just that's one that stands out to me, that it makes you more powerful, because you realize you're not falling through this thing. You're not just here and God's doing all this and you're just like a puppet on a string. And, you know, when God wants something done, he's going to do it. No, I think we're understanding the fact that you really do love God. You want to come to church. You want to serve God. You want to give him your best. You want to do this. And so God will support your desire. And he'll make sure you have all your needs. And if you're lacking on anything, he'll give you that. And he'll make sure that you're where you need to be, even if he has to break your leg. Sometimes he has to break your leg because you want to just be your own man or own woman. And God knows your heart. He knows you love him. And so sometimes he has to take you down a road that causes you a little pain. And so that causes, you know, that sheep that he breaks the leg, they don't venture out anymore. Matter of fact, he breaks it, then he has to carry him. God, see, that's what God does with us. Sometimes, even when he sends you through a hardship, and you say, well, Lord, why am I going through this? You need to learn something. And he'll break your leg, but then he'll pick you up and he'll carry you until you're healed again. That's the kind of God I serve. Even if he has to whip me, he turns around and picks me up and carries me until I'm back to where I need to be. So I'm thankful for that. Now, over here in Hebrews, that I wanted to start here in chapter 1. And it's funny because, I don't know, it might just be me, but the scriptures seem to read a little different these days. I mean, everywhere I look, and even the wording, the way it was worded was done purposely, that only the elect are going to get to see this and understand it. And I went over and I read that. Now, sundry means it's various kinds, basically, is what it's talking about. It says God, who at various times and in many manners, divers as many, spake in times past unto us by the prophets. Now, God was doing so much more than what we gave him credit for. And Jesus is doing less than what we gave him credit for. Did you read down through here who was doing what? He spoke in the past by the fathers, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed. Jesus was appointed. Everybody's got a boss. But just reading the scriptures now I just look at the scriptures and I think there's so much in there, and the order of how God did things is so plain now to me that I can't read something till I just see so much in there. Jesus was appointed heir of all things. Well, if he was appointed heir, who owned it? His father. Now you say, well, we're not Trinitarians. No, we're not. But Jesus had a father. He was a son. A son has to have a father. I'm sorry. But in looking at the scriptures now, and I'm seeing so many things in there, I'm like, God was doing so many things. And he appointed Jesus heir of all. By whom he made the worlds. He spoke the worlds into existence. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image. Now, God is who he is. But God needed to be expressed. Remember, he wasn't even God before he had created something to worship him. So Jesus was the expressed image of God. Do you realize, and I'm jumping, but do you realize you are the expressed image of God? I wanted to get there because, you know, sometimes you got to look at a little dessert while you're eating. You are the expressed image of God just as much as Jesus was the expressed image of God. Because there's only one God. Jesus ain't the second first person of the Godhead. He is the person of the Godhead. You aren't the third person of the Godhead. You are the person of the Godhead dwelling in human flesh. Oh, I can see that so clearly now, how God and man has become one. And Jesus was the expressed image. Jesus was doing just what you're doing. He had to express one thing, and you had to express another. But it's still God. It was God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It was Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're not going to make another God out of it. See, when people get nervous about it and want to make a second and third God out of it, that just means they don't understand the Godhead. That's why Jesus had to straighten Peter out on Mount Transfiguration, because Peter wanted to make three gods. He said, let's make three temples, one for you, one for him, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Let's just make this. And God said, whoa, we don't need three temples. We're not talking about three gods. He said, whoa, this, God has to speak up himself. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That's the only way you're going to get to be one with God. You got to hear his son. And his son is his word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became the expressed image of God. You said that ain't John 1:1. Oh, yes, it is. The word became flesh. Became expressed. In the hour that we're living in, the word has become expressed. You wonder why you're getting turned on. You wonder why the word is doing so many things in your life and changing you. It's because you are becoming the expressed image of the word of God. They were asking Jesus and said, "Where we want to see God. Show us the Father. And if you show us the Father, it'll satisfy us. We'll never ask you again." Jesus said, how long do I have to be here? How long? When you see me, you see the Father. There's no difference between that statement with Jesus and that statement with you. Oh, everybody wants to see God, they say, but people don't really want to see God. Because when you see me, you see the Father. When you see the bride, you see the Father. You are the expressed image of God himself. All right. Threefold purpose of God. See, I want to make it simple. I've always liked making things simple. I hate making things hard. I don't like this to be hard. I want it to be it should be a simple salvation. It should be so simple that a child wouldn't err. It's so simple that everybody in here can get it if you want it. It's no longer a mystery. See, this thing was a mystery, and people didn't know how to get it. But once the mystery is told, if I tell you a secret, if I got in front of the whole congregation and told you a secret, it's open to the whole congregation. It's no longer a secret. But you have to choose to receive it. That's where you go back to your part that Don read. You got a part to play. You have to receive it. If you don't receive it, it's not for you. It's got to be quickened to you. Now let's start with the first fold. Because we got to start where it started. Now, I'm not going to go back. We've been talking about this for 2 months.
It goes all the way back to Elohim. Elohim was a self-existing one. That's what that means. He never had a beginning, never had an end. He never had a second thought. He never changed his mind. He never, never, never. That's Elohim. Now, this Elohim was so great that man couldn't deal with him. So over in Exodus chapter 19, the children of Israel thought that they wanted to deal with Elohim. They said, Moses, we know God as much, as well as, if not better, than you know God. You're not the only one that can talk to God around this place. Well, Moses said, really? Because remember, Moses was dealing with Elohim. You don't ask Elohim to change anything. And the children of Israel wanted to talk to God themselves. And Moses was like, all right, I'm going to go tell them. Hey, they want to talk to you. God said, tell them, get cleaned up, and in 3 days, I'm coming back. And I'm going to talk to them. They want to see me. I want to talk to them. So the children of Israel cleaned up, put on their Sunday best, got all dressed up, and got all ready to go, got over to the mountain. Exodus chapter 19, won't read it all, but verse 20 and 21, and the Lord came down on Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses upon the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. In other words, God was such as you can't even look upon him. He was unapproachable. He had to do something. Do you realize when Moses got through dealing with God, they literally had to put a veil over Moses' face because it was so, the brightness of the Lord was on him. Just being a man, they had to veil his face so that they could even look upon Moses. And Moses wasn't even God. So there was no way that you can approach God. There was no way that you can get God. All that God was too great for mankind. And in order for mankind to get hold of God, there had to be a something put them. You know, when I had a camera, I used to be a photographer in the day, and I would put filters on the lens. And if you ever had a camera with filters, those filters would block the sunlight or would change the perception of what you're looking at to allow the picture to be taken. God, Elohim, needed a filter between God and man. And because he was so great and so mighty and unapproachable, it was impossible for Elohim to do anything but to dumb down himself into something little less than who he is so that man could even have a chance of approaching him. So Elohim had to become God. So Elohim doesn't change his mind. Elohim doesn't move. Elohim just makes statements. Let there be, and there is. He speaks the word, and it happens. That's Elohim for you. But then in order to get a hold of man, he knew that he had to get himself into a position where man could approach him, and they called that God. It's the object of worship. That's what God is. Now, I'm still on the first fold because the first fold was all that God was, he poured into man. And so in order for you to find out how this God could come down, he had to create something little less than he is so that he could put himself. Now, God does not change his essence. He was still God. He was still Elohim. He was still a self-existent one, but he put himself in roles so that he could be approached by man. If we had to celebrate and follow Elohim as he is, we'd all be dead. So he told Moses, go down and get with the people or they're going to perish. Brother Branham said here in the first fold of this great mystery of God, notice, God had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. God in his great mystery secret, he had before the world began, he had got a threefold purpose in it. The first was that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. Now, in order for God to reveal himself to the people, he had to come down. We couldn't approach him as he was. See, even to be called God, God is an object of worship. God wasn't even God in essence until he actually had something to worship him. Now, we've been talking about this for 2 months. You'd think we'd be through with it. It's a big subject. So God needed to have something to worship him. So in order for God to be God, he needed the angels. So he created angels, and when he created angels, that's when he first became God. Now, he's been God the whole time. But he was not God in manifestation. He wasn't the expressed image of Elohim until he had somebody worship him. Then he became God. And that's a better step down. Because God was a little bit different in one sense than Elohim. God could speak. God could create. God could hate. God could love. See, now that wasn't Elohim. That was God. Now you say, was that a lesser God? No, it was the same God. It was God stepping into the role of God. That was the first fold of his purpose. And now that he's God, he could be approached by angels. He could be approached by Moses. He could be approached by people. He could be touched. He could have his mind changed. And see, people don't like me saying that. But I got too many scriptures where he did. He could feel for humanity. But even at that stage, it wasn't enough. Because he had attributes that had to be fulfilled in him. And this first purpose that God had, he had to come to a position where man could get a hold of him and see him. Now, he's always Elohim. We couldn't talk to Elohim, but we can talk to God. But we couldn't see God. So it still wasn't enough to just be able to talk to God. John chapter 1, verse 18, I can read all the way down through, but to save time, because that's in the beginning was the word. But verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. The Son came out of the bosom of the Father. Jesus was the expressed image of his Father. Do you know your son looked like you? You all have never met, I was going to say most of you, only a few of you have ever met my father. Don's met him. Michelle's met him. I think Brother Lockett, you met him. I'm not sure if you have. Jim's met him. John's met him. Clary's met him. Ted's met him. But that's it. But for the rest of you, if you want to see or know what my father looked like, you have to look at me. Because I am the expressed image of my father. Matter of fact, Melanie's not here today, but she says sometimes we take pictures, and she says, I look at that picture, and you look just like Dad. I am the expressed image. I came from the bosom of my father. Jesus came from the bosom of his father. He was the expressed image of God himself. If you wanted to know what God talked like, listen to Jesus. He's just like his father. He talked just like his father. He looked just like his father. He was the expressed image of God. God became express in the person of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham said. Jesus was the express image of God. The very substance of God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. The great Spirit God, unto which no man could approach, which no man had seen or could behold, was now tabernacled in flesh and dwelt among men, expressing the fullness of God to man. That's what Jesus did. He was the expression of God. So we can't say that we didn't know God now. God, who on occasion would manifest his presence by the cloud or pillar of fire that struck fear in the hearts of men, this God, whose heart characteristics was made known only by the revelation of words through the prophets, now became Emmanuel. Now see, we were able to understand God's word through the prophets of the Old Testament, but we couldn't see God. Now became Emmanuel, God with us, declaring himself. The word declare is taken from the Greek root, which was often interpreted as exogenous, which means to thoroughly explain and make clear. That is what the living word Jesus did. He brought God to us, for he was God. He was God. But it was God coming down to a place where man and God could be one. We couldn't approach Elohim. We couldn't see God. But we could see Jesus. He was the express image of God. He was part of that threefold purpose that God had always in his mind from before the foundation of the world. God always wanted to be an express image. And he brought himself down to where he could be one with man. Now, that was the first purpose of that threefold purpose. All that God was, he poured into Christ. Now, don't think that was made God less than who he was. It didn't take away from God because he poured it all into Christ, because Christ was God. So all that God was in this threefold purpose, he poured into Christ. Now Christ became the express image of the living God, the same God that was the God that created the heavens and the earth, the same God that before there was earth was in the mind of Elohim, same one. So Jesus was Elohim. The express image of Elohim. You say, well, you skipped God. It's the same God. It was God. See, I want you to see that it's the same God, because next step is all that Christ was, he poured into us. And so I don't want you to think we're any less than God himself. And that's why I'm seeing more now than I've ever seen. That it's Elohim expressing himself in you and me. It's Elohim coming all the way from glory down to earth where he can become one with man. That second fold of that threefold purpose was all that Christ was, he poured into the bride. That's the second fold right there. And we didn't even understand this. We had it all mixed up, messed up, had all these things that God's trying. God ain't trying to do a lot of things. He's only doing three things. All he ever wanted to do was three things. Oh, we make God doing this, we make God doing that, and we blame God for this, and we blame the devil for God, but God's only had three purposes, a threefold purpose, and he's never changed his mind about his word. He's never changed his mind about his purpose. I don't care what comes this way. God never changed his mind about that threefold purpose. John chapter 14, Jesus tried to explain that purpose to us. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I will come to you. Yet a little while. See, the whole world got to see the expressed image of God. But that wasn't what God wanted. He didn't want the whole world to see him. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you shall see me.
Amen.
See, he didn't take himself from us. He didn't pull himself away from us. Oh, we can see the express image of God. The rest of the world can't see it, but we can see it. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day. Oh my. Brother Branham said, what day? That day is this day. No one's ever been able to really understand the real expressed image of God in bride form. At that day, ye shall know. And to know is to understand. We have never understood the word of God like we do now. We have never seen God like, do you know, we're thinking and talking about things that's happened in the mind of God before the world was even begun. Nobody's doing this. Nobody's talking about the mind of Elohim. Nobody knows the difference between Elohim and God. Nobody knows the difference between God and Jesus. Nobody even knows the difference between Jesus and you.
Amen.
I come from an apostolic denomination, and we were one God people, but we didn't know how to understand it. That's like Brother Childers always says, we ain't talking about the oneness like this. And we're not talking about oneness like this. But see, you got to understand that it was God in Christ. You got to understand it's Christ in you. You got to understand it was Elohim in God. Doesn't make a less God. Doesn't make a different God. Doesn't make a second God. It's the one and only true God. But it's God expressing himself in the different forms. And that second fold of that threefold purpose was that God was going to put himself in us. At that day, you shall know. Up until this day, we didn't know. At the opening of the seals, everything came loose. This bride has never understood anything until this hour that we're living in now. At the opening of the seals, the whole Bible became a new book to us. And we're not sitting here in the dark now. Oh, we know how to pray now. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We know what that means now. Why was Jesus praying to his Father in heaven if he was here on earth? Because he was expressed image. We pray to the same God that Jesus prayed to. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. The same will as it is in heaven in your mind. What you saw in your mind, you're expressing on earth. Let your will be done in my life. See, you don't have to just say that's Jesus' prayer. Jesus was showing us how to pray. That prayer was for you and me. So we can say, Lord, let your mind be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. You know we're eating on our daily bread? God gave bread for every day. Gave him a piece. Gave him a piece. Gave him a piece. Gave him a piece. Every day. But what's our day's bread? We get the whole loaf now. Oh, Luther stood there with his little just shall live by faith and lived by that and received eternal life. Wesley lived by a sanctified life and did a good job and lived by that. But that's all he knew. He didn't have a whole loaf. Pentecost, but got the tongues, got the gifts, got the restoration of all the word and everything else under Malachi 4. He said, well, wait a minute. You put Brother Branham under Pentecost. Oh, yeah. Malachi 4. He was a messenger to the Pentecostal church. Brother Branham wasn't the one we were waiting on. But when Brother Branham got finished with his role as part of that last Pentecostal age, then Jesus came. And when he comes down himself, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, who knew these things but the bride of Jesus in the hour we're living in? At that day ye shall know. All the guesswork is over. Now we go anywhere in the book. We can talk anywhere. We come to church, and I'll preach from Genesis to Revelation every service. We talk on anything. Come to Bible study. Barb, you should come to Bible study Sunday nights. We talk about everything. It's not on the internet, so nobody can hear it, and people bring all kind of things. But do you know what? We've never left without an answer.
Amen.
I don't care if it's, we're going to study that, and we'll come back, and we come back with the answer. But it's not that we don't have answers. We have all the answers now. The mind that was in Elohim is now in the bride. That's that second fold of that threefold purpose. He wanted to pour himself into us. Now, when he pours all of himself, that's like pouring a pitcher, and when you finish, the pitcher's still full. God ain't going to run out of himself. Even though he poured all of himself into Christ, he was still Elohim. He was still God. That's why when Jesus was down here walking on earth, he could pray to God. That's why he had to approach God that way, because it was like, it was still Elohim. It was still God. And Jesus prayed to him that way. As a matter of fact, when Jesus didn't want to do the right thing, he had to pray about it to God. Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. That's what Jesus wanted. Well, if he was God, how could he pray that way? And he was God. He prayed that way because that was the role that he was in. As a son. And he was the closest thing to us, a kinsman and redeemer. Who could feel, who could be bothered, who could be angered, who could bleed, who could die. God, in the vessel of his manifested image, could die. Elohim could never die. No beginning and no end. God had a beginning of manifestation, and I say it that way because God was Elohim. Same one, no beginning and no end. But the manifestation had a beginning with no end. Jesus had a beginning. He said, what? He's born. Remember, Christmas is coming. Jesus had a birthday. Matter of fact, he probably celebrated his birthday every year. He was a normal kid. But it was God in there. That's why at the age of 12, he told Mary, I must be about my father's business. She thought he was talking about Joseph. He said, no. I ain't talking about him. I'm talking about my heavenly father. And here he was, the word of God. All that God was, he poured into Jesus. There's nothing short, nothing left. There's nothing that, he's a lesser God. No, he wasn't. There's only one God. God limits himself by the things that he allows. He put his own word out there and allowed his word to be the guide rails, if you please, to what he would allow. In whatever office, whatever position, you don't even have the authority that Jesus had. Because Jesus came through his theophany, he knew all things. We're just learning all things. Brother Branham said, we didn't go through our theophany, but we come by way of the birth, of the natural birth, to be tried and tested. And see, when we're tried and tested, we're coming out okay because we're believers. But we didn't come by a spoken word birth. So even when God poured himself in Jesus Christ to pour himself one more time, he had to pour himself into us. And you know when that happened? On the day of Pentecost. God poured himself into the church. Now, the same thing applies back today. All that God was, he poured into Christ, Brother Branham said. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. It's the same God all the time. We've been selling ourselves a little short. We've been acting like God was having pity party on us and pulling us in and saving us and trying to get us back, trying to convince us to go to heaven. That is not the plan of God. God ain't down here trying to recruit for heaven. That's the way we look at it. We're looking, God's coming to try to get. Do you realize if you did not come from the mind of God, you will not go back to the mind of God. If you didn't come from God, you won't go to God. If you didn't come from heaven, don't make me pull that scripture out. You know, it's only been 3 or 4 years I really understood that. No man can go to heaven except he that comes from heaven, even the Son. My goodness. Including Jesus. Jesus could not go to heaven if he didn't come from there. Neither can you. If you didn't come from heaven, you won't go to heaven. He said, well, what must I do to be saved? What do I got to do? Got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved, and your house. We won't even go there today. But you'll be saved. It's so simple. God only had a threefold purpose. And you know, God used that threefold purpose many times on many things. Okay, now see, he could go back and pick up what these other fellows had left off. He's talking about when God come. Well, no. Ooh, I'm reading you on the next one. Yeah. I didn't finish this one. All that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. All. So if you look at it the way we would look at it with our current thinking, there's nothing left. But that's not the way that God works. God's math is different than ours. We say 3 minus 3 is 0. That ain't the way God does his math. When he says all, he never takes anything away. It's still all. In Elohim, he's all things. But then he poured himself into God. But he was still all things. Then he poured himself into Christ. And he was still all things. And then he poured himself into the bride. And he's still all things. God's math different than man's math. God never gets to zero. He never runs out. When you pour all of God into us, he's still all God. It's God above us. He couldn't come near us because we were sinful. The blood of the Lamb could not take away sin, but then God was made flesh and dwelt among us. We believe that. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Any Christian believes that. See, it was God pouring himself the whole time, but it never took anything away from him. Elohim is just as powerful today as he was before he created God, before he became God. He is just as powerful as he was when he created you. And for Elohim to get in you makes you just as powerful as you've ever been. Amen. Satan has tried to trick us to believe that we're lesser beings. Satan tried to make us feel like that we don't belong with the Godhead. Satan tried to make us feel like it's unright. It's not right for us to make ourselves equal with God. But I'm sorry, just as much as Jesus made himself equal with God, I've got to make myself equal with God because there's only one God. And if you have eternal life here today, it's because God's dwelling in you. Already, you're not going to get eternal life. It's already in you. It just needs to be quickened. And what quickens eternal life is the Word of God.
Amen.
Still God. Because He's the Word. When you get the Word in you, you got God in you. All that God was, He poured into Christ. First fold of that threefold purpose. All that Christ was, He poured into the church. Oh, He didn't leave nothing. Do you know why we know what we know? Because He's poured it in us. He's made it known to us. You're no different than the church. You are the church. He just had it hid. But at evening time, He said, there shall be light. At evening time, He promised a prophet to come on the scene. At evening time, He promised the seals would be ripped off and open. At evening time, He promised He would come Himself. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice of trumpet. My goodness, no wonder we know what we know. It's already prophesied and told of us. Now we understand so much more. I understand so much more now than I ever have. I'm no longer afraid to say I'm equal with God. I'm no longer afraid to speak the Word of God. I'm no longer afraid to say what the Word says about me. I am. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the circumstances are. God has poured Himself into this bride. I don't care what the world does. I don't care how bad it gets. God has poured Himself into the bride. I don't care what my family does. I don't care what my workers do. I don't care what my friends do. God has poured Himself into this bride. And I know that for myself. Some says you can't make me doubt Him. I know too much about Him. God has poured Himself into us. Not as just an individual, but in the bride body. That's why I'm identified with justification. Sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you know that's the threefold purpose of God? Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost is another threefold purpose. Those are threefold purposes to the new birth. Those three are the purpose for you to even be born naturally. It takes water. It takes blood. And it takes a life to come in there for that baby to live. It's not enough for a woman's water to break. She can have the water break and the baby can come stillborn. It's not enough for her to have the blood all over the place. That's not it. But there's got to be a life. When that baby gets that life in him, those threefold purpose of God called birth, then you got a life on your hands. God's trying to type it out in so many ways for us to see His threefold purpose. We're so blinded because of denomination tradition, we don't even see God's been showing it in every way He could. I know I'm ahead of myself, but He also showed it in the saving of the earth. It took water, the flood. It took the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's going to take this fire to burn this thing off. That's going to be when a new earth can be born again. That threefold purpose is all over the place if you want to look at it. God reminds us all the time, every time it rains, that rainbow goes up to remind us that we've been baptized. That blood of Jesus Christ was spilled for us. It's a reminder that we're His. And He's going to clean this earth off. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. God is not slack concerning His promises. So in order for us to get this threefold purpose in us, this second fold of that threefold, He put the fivefold ministry in there. Ephesians 4 and 11. And He gave some prophets and some apostles and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting. We got to be perfect. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, that's, He's done all this because He needed all of this to pour Himself into us, into His body, His bride body. Till we all come to the unity. What unity? A real oneness. This bride has never been as one as she is now. Oh, all through the ages, we didn't know who the bride was. We didn't know there was such a thing. We thought those were just scriptures. But come a prophet, he showed us that God had built a bride body through every age. And now the bride is on her feet. She knows what it is. We've come to the unity of the whole entire bride body. The unity of the faith, the revelation of this mystery. To y'all come the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. This was perfect. Do you know that first Eve? She had a flaw. She wasn't in the original creation. And she had a little flaw about her that she could disbelieve. You know what? This Eve doesn't have a flaw. This Eve is perfect. She has been clothed by the Word of God in every age. He gave the bride something to eat every day. He never left us without something to eat. And it built a perfect body. But we weren't united. It took the opening of the seals to unite us. At the opening of the seals, we saw how perfect she was. Satan didn't even realize how perfect she was. He didn't even know what was going on. God hid this thing from everybody. But the whole time he was pouring himself into this bride until she come to the full, until we got full. We didn't get full until this day. The fullness didn't come until this day. There's only been two times.
Amen.
That there was a fullness. Fullness of the groom and the fullness of the bride. Oh, he poured and 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 he poured. Then he said, okay, it's full now. And when he poured, the last thing was he poured himself into us. And we sit here, you don't understand how much you know. You don't realize how blessed you are. I don't care what comes your way. You got an answer.
Amen.
I don't care what trial you go through. You got an answer. I don't care if you have to lay your loved one down. You got an answer. I don't care if you fall on your face. You got an answer.
Amen.
We've got answers to everything. Now, Brother Branham said, the second fold of the threefold. Now, he sanctified with his spirit and blood a church that he might make every promise in the last day be revealed. Now, see, he come back and pick up what those other fellas left off here in the body down through the ages. In the last days, and by his Holy Spirit reveals all the mystery of the seven seals. See, he is expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. That's the second fold of the threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ, then to express himself through the church. And the same thing, Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. When it lets. You got to choose to do this. God ain't going to make you be better. He ain't going to clean you up. You say, oh, God's got to clean me. He's got to. When God changes it. You got to decide how close or how far away you want to be to God. You can walk with him every day, or you can walk with him on Sunday and Wednesday, or you can walk with him just on Sunday morning. You'll never get so much God that he's going to run out. You can't beat God-giving. You give to God, and he will give back to you twice as much.
I don't care if you're talking about money. See, people always use that to get offering. They say you can't beat God's giving, and that's not just in dollars and cents. That's in anything. You give God your time, and you'll have more time. You're like, how'd he get that done? I don't know, but you surrender to him, and he'll give you more. Give him your wife. Give him your husband. Give him your kids. Give him your home. Give him your car. Well, I would pick you up, Jay. But, you know, you live about 10 miles away, and I can't put those on my miles on my car. Gotta flatten all four of your tires. You'll be paying more for tires than it would have been gas to get Jay. But our thinking's messed up. We think, well, what am I going to get out of it? You can never do too much that God's going to run out. All that he has, he's poured into us. And you can have as much of him as you want. He can have your home. He can run your home. He can raise your kids. He can tell you how to dress. He can do every bit of it. How much can you believe him for? You can't give him. You can't outdo him. You can't outshow him. You can't share enough. You can't give him. People always get mad at me. You know, I have this bad habit. John always gets on me. People borrow stuff from me. I guess it's called borrow, but it's one way. I don't think that's called borrow. They ask me for things. Let's just put it that way. And I give it to them. But you know, it ain't mine anyway. It's God. And if it comes back, it's a blessing. But I don't ever give something looking for it back. It helps me to not be disappointed in you.
Amen. That's right.
That's y'all don't know my tricks. I shouldn't tell y'all my tricks. But if I give it and not looking for it in return, I won't be disappointed when you keep it. But you know what? There's nothing anybody's ever gotten from me that God had never replaced it and given me something better.
That's right. Amen.
I never lose.
I never lose.
You might not even know how I've made it this far, but I never lose. Because I said from the beginning that everything that I have belonged to him. If he wants to take it, he can have it. I said, I'll never be rich. I give it all away.
Amen, Lord.
But you can't be God's giving. Quit being selfish. Quit being self-centered. People don't even share their time because you know what? They think time is money. Your time is God's time. So, you got to go. It's 8 o'clock and I got to get ready for bed because I got to get up in the morning and, you know, I got things I got to do. And this brother's crying in your living room and needs some time and needs somebody to talk to. And you're like, well, I think we need to wrap this up. I said, my goodness. I always said that. See, another one. God, I may not get 8 hours sleep, but Lord, give me 8 hours rest. See, there is a difference there. I don't go to bed early at all, hardly ever. But I'm always rested. I shouldn't tell y'all all my secrets. Because the thing is, you can't give so much to God that he's going to run out. When you give to your brother and your sister, do you know you're giving that to God?
Amen.
Your time, your food, your money, your energy, your gas, your home. I've had I don't know how many people stay in my house. Because it ain't my house. I really believe that. Yeah. But you know, I've never been homeless. God's always made a way. I always had a roof over my head. So I throw it at God, and God throws something bigger back. I was picking people up in my raggedy, Mazda. My raggedy Mazda, I wrecked it the night before, well, the week before wedding. Oh, no, my first day of work. Wrecked it. And the driver's seat looked fine. Because you sit there. Well, I went to sleep and went back in the woods. I thought, whoo, thank you, Lord, I'm fine. The car's okay. Got out of the car and looked. That car was beat all the way around, including the roof. It hit trees and bushes, and that thing was wrecked. But in the driver's seat, it looked fine. So I kept driving it. And I drove that car, and I drove people who wanted me to pick them up for church. I'd pick them up for church, and I'd take people places. I'd do things on and on and on. We took that car on our honeymoon, actually. You can hear the wind blowing where the doors didn't close good. Anyway, I would pick people up for church and stuff in that car. And you know what? Brother Childers pulled up one day with that burgundy station wagon. And he said, Brother Nate, this is yours. I said, what? He said, yeah, this is for you. I said, what do you mean it's for me? He said, yeah, you've been picking people up in that old car, raggedy car, and doing this and that. He says, this station wagon is for you and you alone. It's yours. I took that car and picked everybody up again. But that's just it. You give to God, God will bless you. Quit holding on to you, because all that God was, he poured into the bride. And what you do to the bride, you're doing to him. That's the second fold of that thirdfold purpose. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers. He's the head, but you're the body. You, that's what makes you, you come here without your head, you're not complete. But you've got to have him. You must be born again. You've got to have that poured into you. But when you and Christ become one, everything else looks better. Your job, your family, your neighborhood, your church. Oh, you want to get involved? You want to be a part of something? There ain't nothing worse than somebody come here and get saved and die. And I'm not talking about dead. I'm talking about dying on a bench. Just sit there. Don't do nothing. Don't get involved. Like I said, do you even know the church combination to get in the church? I asked someone, who's that? I asked somebody, I think it was Seth the other day. I asked him, Seth. I said, I'd test it. I said, Seth, you know the combination to get in the church? He told me, so okay, just checking. Some of y'all sitting there said, is there a combination? That means you're not close enough. That means you don't do enough. Because there's more that goes on than Wednesday and Sunday. Didn't I tell you these guys were here Thursday? No, Friday. Right after Thanksgiving, Friday, figuring out the internet because they knew that people were going to be logging in on Sunday and it had to be fixed. While you're sitting up there warming over your Thanksgiving dinner, not thinking about a thing. There's things that happen, and it's more than just coming and sitting here in the church. This is a moving, living Word of God body. We have things to do. We have places to go. We got people to talk to. We got people to reach. But if you guys just come here and sit and don't do nothing, zero, just think, it's okay, this is December 1st. Think of how much you've done this year to help this body. You're like, well, that's a quick thought. I ain't do nothing. Then you just step it up. It doesn't mean you're not born again. It just means you're lazy. It just means you're self-centered. It means you don't care about others enough. But he poured himself into us. So only hands God have are yours. Only eyes and feet he have are yours. You say, well, I wish somebody would shovel. We used to shovel the driveway off by hand. When we had those 4, 6, 8 inches of snow. I ain't talking about the snow we're having now. I'm talking about foot. Brothers would call each other and we all bring our shovels and shovel it off by hand. Why? Because we wanted the people to have church. He said, well, I don't even pull my shovel out. I'm just using that as an example, people. Don't show up with your shovel We got somebody with a truck that does it now. But I'm saying that's just another thing. Thank God, Jeremiah. Yeah, because you ain't living in Hamilton now. You can help. But God has poured himself into us. But that's the second fold of his threefold purpose. Now his third fold, and I have to get down there. Oh, I want to read this. The original outpouring of Pentecost, which outpouring comes direct from Jesus on the mercy seat, is enduring his church through all the seven ages, and showing forth perfectly that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The never changing God in his essence and his ways. That's where I got that from. Says God doesn't change his essence. Though he pours all that he has into something, he's still God. His essence is still there. Like I said, I can get a spoonful of the ocean. I don't care if you get a bucket full. I don't care if you get a truck full back in and take a big old. It still has all the elements in that ocean. And you have all the elements of that ocean in that spoon. That's the way it is with us. Everything that Elohim is in you. All that Christ was, he poured into us. And the thing is, Satan has tricked us to think that we don't have nothing. He's talked us out of healing. He's talked us out of solutions to problems. He talked us out of trouble. It's all you can't ask. You pray to God and say, Lord, if it be thy will. No, it is my will. My will is his will. His will is for his word to be manifested. And whatever trouble I'm in, if it's going to mess up his plan, then he needs to adjust it. I don't care if he's got to make the sun stand still. I don't care if he's got to part the Red Sea. I don't care if he's got to part the Jordan River. Amen. I don't care if he's got to bring flies. I don't care if he's got to bring the death angel through the land. Whatever it's going to take, he will do to support you and what you are here to fulfill. You say, well, I don't want to go through it. Quit whining and go through. Do you realize the children of Israel, when Joshua got them over there to the Jordan, they did not know the outcome. Y'all think, oh, hallelujah, those they were all. No, they just had faith that whatever God takes us through, I'm going to go. They got in that water and got wet. And like Joshua said. Joshua said. And they literally walked in the water and got wet. And they knew the story of Moses. They said, Moses didn't get wet. His children didn't get wet. Something's a little fishy around here. This ain't right. But God knew that they had the faith to believe no matter what they were going through, he was going to see them through. No matter what problems you have, no matter what sickness you have, no matter what ailment, just remember, God said, I'm going to see you through. All those Hebrew boys that said, I don't care. If God saves us, he saves us. If he doesn't, we still won't bow to you. He's more than able, because they knew that God was going to take care of them. And it looked bad. I mean, matter of fact, when they opened up the door, killed the people who were throwing them in there. The fire was real. The problem was real. But their faith was real. So when I hear you complaining, oh, I'm in the fiery furnace. Oh, why are my feet wet? God, I thought you were going, God, you can't let this happen to me. Yes, you can. Because what you got to understand, his picture is bigger than your picture. He needed that king to testify of the Son of Man. So he went through all that, put them in the fiery furnace, and he stood up and said, woo, there's four men in there, not three. And that one looks like the Son of Man. Who did he know? How did he know who the Son of Man is? God made him testify to that.
So don't worry about it. All that God was, he poured into you and me in the body. We are on our feet. We know who we are. So if we know that, and I'm not going there at all, if we know that, then we should be strong. I kid you not, to understand the difference with choice. Y'all don't know what that did for me. I chose to serve God. I chose to do this. I chose to lay everything. I did. The devil's like, see, the whole time he's trying to just muddy up the water with, so you don't know who's doing what. And we know who's doing what. We know the part that Don just read to you, the part that belongs to God, part that belongs to us. Well, we know that now. Devil don't have a, you don't have a chance now. It's like, oh, well, you just, no, I choose this, Satan. Oh, yeah, maybe God's not. No, this is what I choose to do. God ain't going to pick up Jay. I am. God gives me the choice. Jay calls me up and says, hey, I need a ride. The rest don't me. Like, I got gas in my car, got good tires, I got a good engine. And now, what am I going to do? Am I going to pick God up? Or am I going to turn God down? Because that's what you're doing. That's what we do with each other. Your spouse, your kids, your family, your friends. This is what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with the Word made flesh now. You're dealing with God. You're not dealing with just any old body. You're dealing with the Word made flesh. All that God was, he poured into me. You say, into you? Yes. So you can't say that I did. You can't make it that personal. I have to. I hope he's poured into you, but I know he's poured into me. So you can't be God by yourself. I don't want to be God by myself. I'm part of a beautiful, many men of a body. But don't take it away from me. They can't do what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the dead up. I'm going to get them up. I'm going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I choose to believe that. Okay. I'm trying to wrap this up now. I see it's after 12. To wit, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. That God... Where has these scriptures been hiding all these years? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Not to Christ. When this is done, Jesus is going to be our elder brother. She's going to be like Brother Don. Another brother. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, I'm going to wrap this up. I just want to get us to that third. Okay, I'm here. Okay, that third fold of that threefold purpose. Because, see, the third fold of that threefold purpose, Brother Brandon, the first fold said, all that God was, he poured into Christ. Second fold, all Christ was, he poured into the bride. Well, you think, okay, that's it. No. It's always been God's plan to have us in that kingdom. That's the third fold of that. All that was in God, he poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, he poured into the bride. And that group, he's going to take back to that kingdom. This has always been his plan. It's never been anything else. You say, oh, God's trying to make the government do this. God's trying to make the world do this. God's trying to clean up. If we do these things, global warming won't happen. You know, I think it's awful funny that we have global warming and God's going to burn the earth off. It's like the world is like, come on. It's moving that way. But that's all okay. We don't have to worry about that. Because he's going to take us to the kingdom. Whatever happens down here, whether it warms or not, I know it's going to get hot. Listen to this. Now I'm going to read this. and without controversy. One of my favorite, another one of my favorites, 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, I won't even argue the point. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now we're starting to understand godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And I can put in here, God was justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. This is all God. Now this is all God. God's done all these things. And received up into glory. All these things is mystery of godliness. This threefold purpose of this mystery, there it is right there. It's a revelation, Brother Branham said. It's as eternal as the word is eternal. Look, but the threefold purpose of God, God's great mysteries revealed. God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in the church in order to redeem that lost Eve back to the original condition in the Garden of Eden. We're going back to the garden together. That's the third fold of our purpose. We're going back to where we come from. It's been God's plan all along. It's been God's thought all along. He never changed his mind about that. He was always going to have us, and he's still going to have us. I don't care how bad this world gets. God's going to have his bread. Amen. Brother Branham said, first, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, the bride, till he can have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its original position that fell by sin from the first Adam, back there where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowship with them. That is what he's doing now. We have gotten back all except for in our houses to that Garden of Eden condition. We're walking in the cool of the evening. We're fellowshipping with him. He's sharing his... He said, can I hide anything from my friend? He ain't hiding nothing from us now, people. Oh, my goodness. There's only one thing he's hidden from me right now. And the day he shows me that. Just like everything else. You know. See how easily you can slide into fulfilling the scriptures? We're sitting here and not really understanding the Godhead exactly. And God just slides in here and gives it to us. And the whole body's like, okay, I see that. And we're sitting here, got our interpretation of the rapture. And we do. Until God reveals it to us, all you can have is your interpretation. And we're all sitting here with our, some are sitting there saying, yeah, it's going to be 30 to 40 days. Yeah, I'm going to feel a tingle. Somebody else like, I'm going to feel a tingle. Somebody says, I'm going to be waking up out of a sleep. And somebody's going, everybody's got their idea of how the rapture is going to happen. But let me tell you, church, like somebody said the other day, how did everything else come to you? Everything we've ever got came by the preaching of the word. We didn't know, then we know. We don't understand, then it's called revelation. The rapture is a revelation. I didn't bring the scripture, the quote with me, but Brother Branham said, we understand the rapture, but we just need the revelation of the rapture. Because once we get the revelation of the rapture, it's going to be just like every other revelation. We'll step into that like we stepped into every other scripture, and we'll be sitting here or somebody will be preaching somewhere, and all of a sudden they'll say just the right thing, and the rapture will make more sense to you than it ever had. Just like the Godhead makes more sense to us now. It's just another move, another step. It's not some big thing you're going to study. It's not something you're going to clean your life up to get. It's God revealing the rapture to you. Amen. And when he does that, and he has to do that, because that's going to move us into that third fold of that transformation. That third fold of that purpose of God. He's never had another thought about his purpose. It's always been about that. He already knows the end from the beginning. He actually knows when he's going to give us the revelation of the rapture. He knows.
We, by head knowledge, know the rapture is going to happen. And by faith, we believe it. But remember, faith is only good until you see it. When it's sight, when it's right before your eyes, when it's manifested, you don't even need faith. So we need faith for the rapture until we see it happen. And then we don't need faith then. It's just like all the other scriptures. So, yeah, that was right. Thessalonians 4, yeah, the Lord did descend from heaven, changed in a moment and twinkling. That, man, when that happened, boy, was that a wonder, what a day that was. That's how that rapture is going to happen. That's why you need to get everything else off your plate, because we've let Satan put so much on our plate that we can't focus on what's real. And what's real is the job for the bride in this hour. What's real is that the third fold of that purpose of God is right before us. And it's not going to be long until we're getting out of here. The threefold purpose of what God had in his mind from before the foundation of the world is right before us. It's not a mystery. It's not a secret anymore. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. And those people that he gets preeminence in, he will take back to the Garden of Eden condition like he had in his mind from before the foundation of the world. What's left? Not much. The scripture is so fulfilled right before our eyes. And we're sitting here understanding. Yeah, would you have ever thought that we would understand God like we do? And here we are with a perfect balance, perfect understanding. Somebody said the other day, I think, I'm thankful. It might have been this way, I don't know. They're all run together. It's perfect balance. Perfect balance. I'm not trying to be in this world. I'm not trying to act like the world. I don't want to talk like the world. I don't want to look like the world. I don't have nothing about this world that turns me on. I want to just get out of here. And until then, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be his representative on the earth because Elohim is dwelling in me. And that's what I want people to see when they see me. That's what I want them to hear when they hear me. That's what I want them to see when they see my focus and my direction in life and where I choose. Like Christy said, I'm living in a house in Fairbrook. Out of all the 17, 18, 19, 20 places she went in the world, the only place she really, in her heart, wanted to settle is here. And she didn't even know this years ago. She's in another part of Ohio. And didn't even know we existed. But now she's doing like they did, like Solomon did. We don't have God's temple in a tent anymore where we can pick it up and move. She's putting down stakes. She ain't playing them. Like, this is home now. And that's the way we are. When you know this is your life, not just a passing fancy, when this is your life, you will start hearing everything around it. How far is it from the church? How close do I have to get? Where is my work going to be? I remember some young people, they will tell me, oh, I'm going to be this and this, and I'm going to be in Florida doing this, and I'm going to be I think one person was like some kind of ocean bio or something, I don't forget. And everybody's like, and I'm like, I just listen. Oh, really? Oh, really? Because you're telling me everything you need to tell me. You don't understand what you've got. I built my life around this place. My home, my work, everything. Because this is a pearl of great price. And if you say, well, it doesn't matter where you go in the world, where you can do anything. Yeah, you can go. That's your choice. Have at it. You know, Praveen told me one time when he was first getting out of college, they had offered him a job in Texas. He was thinking he was going to go to Texas, and he's not here, so I could talk about him. And I just listened to him, and he told me he was thinking about this job in Texas when he graduated. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. And he told me this. Says he doesn't realize what he's got. Now, fast forward a little bit.
Praveen's talking to me. It's like, I got to get me a place around here. I got to do this. His focus changed. He realized what this place meant, that you can't get this everywhere. Fast forward a little more. He's got to go home. He's like, I'll be tuning in because I'll be sharing with my family what we're getting here. The value that he saw in it. Matter of fact, he was the one that texted me and said, hey, we need to do something. The subscription expired. Can't get to the live stream. I called the posse together. They got it done. But it means something to him. What does it mean to you? You're the final voice to the final age. When people hear you, who do they hear? When they look at you, what do they see? When they check out your values, the things that you think are important, what do they notice? Threefold purpose. Last step is to go home from here. And I will be ready as soon as he says go. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day. Thank you for your purpose, your threefold purpose, and for how you, Lord, so made it clear to us that that's all you've been about the whole way. And it's not about you trying to figure this out. This has been your plan from the beginning. And Father, we're here actually manifesting what you saw in your mind from before the foundation of the world. You've actually come and moved yourself down into us in such a way that now you're walking down here, you're talking, you're fulfilling the last part of the scriptures that you have left for this Gentile group. And Father, we thank you for that opportunity to be a part of it. Help us to look at this threefold purpose and realize that that's really what my life is about. It's not about all these other things. Oh, it's good to have things on this side, but Lord, if I don't have it, that threefold purpose means more to me than anything else. Bless this congregation, Lord. Their understanding, I can tell their understanding's moved up. Their dedication's moved forward. And the priorities are changing places, and they're starting to move everything out of the way and let you have your way with them. Father, we thank you for that. I ask you to bless those that are tuning in, and I pray those that are out there that they didn't have really trouble getting in but are here today, because that's their desire to hear the services. Pray, Lord, that you will bless this group here and help us to stand up, because the numbers are not high, but the desire is. And the people that are here to do thy will, O God. Help us to do so. Bless us and be with us until we meet again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Don't forget that we'll be having service this evening. 7:00. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Come back tonight. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. It's you, Lord. Oh, it is you, Lord. Who came to save me?
the heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness, that gave me strength that I don't have. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me.
Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
You're dismissed.